Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse. House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Survive there because you know disciple. That is why they go there. People, I have seen people, the best of us, go there as a Christian. And before, the demons there are not playing demons. And so if you are going to be a Christian in politics, you are going to be the disciple that not only covers, you cover your nose and ears and all, and go there with only one purpose: to love the people and to make them disciples. Because when you go to politics, the first week, they'll come and put 10, 10, 20, 20 million for you. You say for what? They will say it's to drink Coke. And you're like, drink Coke? No. Remember, you just came from potholes, from all this madness. And your whole ambition was to go and change. I said, no. You say, no, but I didn't work for you. They say, no. They will just say, oh, guy, if you don't want our career, and you say, no. Then you will remember you had 10 million needs. You say, well, Father, I thank you. It's your blessing. It's not your blessing. It's somebody's hospital bill. It's somebody's. That is why you have to be a cooked disciple to enter those kinds of places. The Father's business is what I came to talk about. So after you become a disciple, then you enter the Father's business. It's like when you take students to America or London, when they finish, they come and enter the business, right? First, Jesus makes you a disciple. Then you enter the business of making disciples. We have only one business: making disciples. It must be on your mind every day. As you sell your clothes and shoes and bags and everything, asking God, how will I make disciples? Because as you sit in your shop every day, people are entering. Do you tell them about Jesus? Do you ask them, what do you know about Jesus? Do you get them filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you invite them to church? There's nothing I hate in a church like empty chairs. Even in our church, in some services we have empty chairs. And I talk about it. Because these empty chairs are supposed to have human beings. But you know the problem? We are not about the Father's business. We are about our business. Do you know why you came for this convention and you sat from morning to night? You are looking for a way where you can, something that can be said and you will make it and break through. All our prayer is breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Nobody is praying, Father, give me Scotland or I die. Give me Lagos or I die. Father, take away anything but let Oregon be saved. I'm sorry I'm preaching like that. That's the only way I know how to preach. I can preach these other ones, but you see, the Father's business. So love one another is what we must do. Love your husband, love your children, love your siblings, your brothers and sisters, and your husband's brothers and sisters. Did you know that you're supposed to love them? That they are not your enemies? Because in the same way you love your brothers and sisters, your husband also loves his brothers and sisters. He did not come from wood to marry you. He came from a woman. I just had a story recently. A girl was trying to entice a boy and all. And he says, whatever your mother gives you, don't collect. Because she had gone to Babalawo. Don't collect. That was the end of their fight. How can somebody hate his own mother and love you? You de grace? You mad? No. You know they happen now. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are the best daughter-in-law your mother-in-law has. Because you have been cooked under Jesus. You know how to love everybody. And so you are the best staff in the office. You are the best person in the neighborhood. You are the best person in your group. Because the life of Christ oozes in you. You are the one who forgives first. You are the one who reaches out first. You are the one who is the kindest. You are the one who wants to give, not to collect. That's the disciple. That is the master's business. That is why the Bible says we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. Because what the light has been lit on us, we now light other people. What God has, I like God. God doesn't tell you to do anything he hasn't done for you. He doesn't ask you to go out of your way. The salvation I gave you, give somebody else. The cloth I've given you, give somebody else. My life is that, Auntie Folake, if I have worn a pair of shoes and I like it, I buy it for somebody. Or I dash it to somebody. Because my strong belief is I'm not the only person Jesus died for. And so I'm not the only person to enter business class. I'm not the only person to go to America. I'm not the only person to live in a good house. Until you have given your experience to somebody, you never finish. Until you have done what God has done for you to somebody else, you are not doing anything. Okay, I need to run. Love one another. Forgiving. Unconditionally loving. Helping, empowering, blessing as you have been blessed. Visit one another. I know that Lagos, to move from one point to the other is difficult because of traffic. But once in a while, you should just visit somebody. Visit a Christian sister and encourage her. Visit somebody in the hospital. Was that not what Jesus did every day? He woke up every day and he was all over the place. To where he even visited a sick person, Peter's mother, and he gave her healing. She rose up and cooked for him. So as a Christian, we are supposed to visit. The Bible says true and pure religion is to visit people in their affliction. Have you read that in your Bible? Are you doing it? But it's the king's business. It's the king's business. Don't worry, I'll soon get out of your face. I'll soon stop worrying you. Don't worry. I want you to be a sister indeed. I hate it when women say, me, I don't like being amongst women. Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? I don't like this women's group. My best friends are men. So God made a mistake to make you a woman. Me, I like being amongst women. Because we will gossip, oh, we will laugh, oh, we will go home. And we will sleep. Don't look at me as if you don't gossip. All of us gossip. I can't believe this pastor. Yes, we gossip. Husband and wife, you gossip. In fact, one day Bible say, and God heard you in your bed. When in the wilderness, they were saying, that Moses, blah, blah, blah. God heard it. We gossip. But we come, we look at each other's clothes, we copy, we are happy. We say, hey, look at that one shoe. See her hair. We laugh. We go home. And we say, Father, forgive us. And he forgives us. Because can I tell you something? Bible says, even God sits in the heaven and laughs. Sometimes when he looks at your K-leg, he go turn with Jesus, then go laugh. Look at your nose, it's half of your face. Say, what happened to that one? Then go laugh. It's not particularly gossip, but it is two people having a nice conversation and laughing. Say, I don't like sisters. They gossip. Anywhere women are, they must gossip. I'm sorry. The only thing is that the difference between their gossip and my gossip is I just laugh and I mean no evil. And if ask these people, anything you talk to me about anybody, when you, I will say, come. This is what we laughed about yesterday. How can you not mingle with other women? You're going to be miserable and you're going to fall in sin. Because there is no neutral relationship between a man and a woman. If you are not married to the man, no neutrality, something will happen. If you put cockroach and woman together in a room, love affair will happen. You don't believe it, eh? I'll tell you. When you go to solitary confinement in the prison, their boyfriend and girlfriend is the ant, the cockroach and all, because there's nobody to talk to. But that cockroach comes every day. And so when they eat food, they put a little bit and leave for their friend, the cockroach, because he comes to distract them. So even between insects and human beings, there can be love relationship. There is love relationship between a man and a dog, because the dog is the best friend. And so if you stay with somebody long enough, stay with any man, make it ugly, make it fat, make it short, make it smell. If it's the only person that is listening to you, one day when I go enter room, close door. Okay, so how did I get there? I was talking about loving one another and loving women. So Jesus was loving to his disciples, no discrimination, no malice, nothing. By loving, they shall know us. At the end of their lives, three apostles, the closest to Jesus, they talked about only one thing. Peter, James, and John. Do you know what they talked about? What? Love. Because they stayed with Jesus. And so if you read 1 John, 2 John and all, it's all about love, love, love. And Peter said, the end of things is at hand. Said, love one another fervently. Fervently. And then James talked about, if you say you love this person, you can't, when they come to meet you, you can't say this and say that. You love them in word, in deed, not in word. Have you seen that in your Bible? So at the end of the matter, love is the greatest. The Bible says love is the greatest. And so the motto for our church is Family Worship Center exists to worship God, to transform, to demonstrate the transforming love of man to God, of God to man, in order to make him an agent of that love. So we just want to love people. I want to be known as a loving person, period. Because that was the mandate. For God so did what? Did you see that? And then the next thing is to make disciples. And God is going to help me. I said the first level of discipleship is you must be a disciple of Jesus. And so you need to join the membership class of this place. You need to join, what do you people call it? The beginner's class. What do you call it? Believer's Foundation. That is how to know what is anything happening. You need to start from there. Then you need to read your Bible every day. Then you need to just obey like the angels and like people who work for the king. So that is the first level. The second level is that you must make everybody in your house a disciple. Imagine if every child born was discipled. Will we have those rogues in the Senate and in the House of Representatives? They are not disciples of Jesus. That's the problem. If every woman will make her child a disciple, and that is what I came here to tell you. That was the revelation for me for this conference. You must make your children disciples. You say, Pastor, what do I need to do? You must tell them about Jesus Christ. You must tell them about the Immaculate Conception of Jesus. You say, Pastor, what does that mean to? I don't even know what it is. That Jesus was born of a virgin. Your children need to know that. Your children must know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the deity of Christ. They must know of the life of Christ, how he lived on earth, how he fasted, how he ministered. You must teach your children to know purity and sinlessness because that's how Jesus lived. You must tell them about Jesus' reason for coming, his obedience to God, his service to God, his ministry on earth, his miracles. You must tell your children about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you must tell them of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And you must tell your children that Jesus Christ is coming back again. You must make your child a fanatic of Jesus. Or else you have failed. Your child must know about Jesus through and through. In fact, when I finish this message, I was going to call my son again and say, come and tell me, what do you know about Jesus? Because it is my job for my child to know about Jesus thoroughly. Your children must know that Jesus is the only way. Have you noticed that in these days they say there are so many ways? And they are pushing it. CNN is bent on telling your children that there are, but how can there be one way? Are you going to say that all the Muslims, all the Hare Krishnas and everything will go to hell? I don't know, but Jesus Christ opened his mouth and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the Father's business. That your children must leave your house unconfused about the fact that Jesus is the way, the only way. You must disciple them. Your children must know about heaven and hell. These days, they are trying to tell the world that there's no hell, but there's a hell. And the children must know. They must know. You must convince them about Jesus and Christianity. You must make your children believers. And then you must let them know that Jesus is our perfect example. And that they should aspire to be like him. That Jesus is our hero. Not Obama, not Nelson Mandela, not anybody in the world, but Jesus must be the hero of our children. That's the discipleship. Jesus is our hero. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. And the meaning of the word train is to teach, to coach, to tutor. Give your child lessons. That's the meaning of tutoring. Give him lessons about Jesus. School them, drill them. To drill is to demonstrate something and make it clear. Let them understand. Let your children be able to defend their faith. When my daughter went to first year university in Oral Roberts University, she came back one day, she said, Mommy, I have read the Bible for myself from cover to cover this term. You see, I don't like so many things in the Bible. And I wasn't ruffled. See, I don't like the way the Bible treats women. I don't like some of the things the Bible said about some things. He said, but one thing I am clear about is that Jesus is the Son of God. and he's coming back again. That was enough for me. He said, but is it okay to not let children correct? No, let them find God for them. I will lay my foundation. You go and find out. But at the end of the day, in this house, as long as I'm paying your school fees, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Going to church is not negotiable. We are believers. We are Christians. We are born again, period. In this house, we do not try anything. We do in this house, we do not test other religions. In this house, only Jesus is the way. Your children must know that. Your children, you are not listening to me. I say your children must know that. Some of your children, they've finished, they've gone to big school, they don't know jack about Jesus. You have failed. Because the master's business is that Jesus Christ must be Lord in our hearts. We must be disciples. So you must teach your children, train them to believe the Bible. The one word that God kept turning and twisting in my mind is the fact that we must convince our children to be believers. We must convince them so that nobody tells them anything in this dirty world we are living in. Wherever your children are, they must stand clear-minded, saying, this is what we know in our house. This is what we believe. And nothing can change it. I may not understand all about Jesus or the Bible, but one thing I know is that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me and he's coming back again. That is the business of the Father. Did you hear me this afternoon? You must train your children to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the absolute Word of God. They say it is not perfect. You say, well, I tell them in our church, whether it's perfect or not, oh, I'm sorry, this is the only book we have. When we go there, they will correct it. Up until now, we will just leave it the way it is. Is that okay? So the children come with high English. I say, I don't care right now. You know, I see people preach and teach things, and they're trying to edge out the Bible. I can't. The Bible says older women like me should teach younger women to love their husbands, to take care of their children, to stay at home and take care of home. And I know these days we have so many things we want to do, but this simple Bible, this is what it says. Love your husband, love your children, take care of your home. This woman, I don't like your preaching. I know, me man, I don't like him. Me man, I don't like the preaching. True, I don't like him. I don't like him, but not the word of God. Amen. So we must love our children. Trust them and believe them. Let your children not need anything. They shouldn't need affirmation outside. They shouldn't look for anybody to tell them, I love you. What is your work? What is your mouth for to be telling people outside you love them? And then another monster of a man is telling your child outside that, no, you. They must hear I love you from you. You must hug them. Believe them. Don't leave any loophole in your house, especially when it concerns, as it concerns your children. Isolate your children from predators. You are leaving your children with their cousins, their brothers, their uncles. They are going to be touching their breasts now and threatening them that they will kill them if they tell anybody. No, you don't. There are certain things you have a newborn baby. Don't open don't give your husband your baby girl to clean. You say, I've had pastor, but he's a wife now. You say, why? Because a man is stimulated by eyesight. That young vagina that looks like Papa in a small girl, a man can see it and begin to have imagination. And so I don't even want to start that matter with you. That discussion is not beginning in this house. Men should not clean babies, little girls' bum bum. A woman can clean anything because we are not moved by sight, we are moved by words. You understand? So from the beginning, begin to protect your children from infancy. What kind of preaching is it? Now, some of you might see the preaching. Forgive me. Isolate them. Your children must be on your mind every day. You know why? Because that is God's next generation. He is banking on your children for the next generation. If we don't do it well, the next generation should correct it. And they cannot correct it if we don't show them. And so, you say, Pastor, where are you getting this? It's from Malachi chapter 3. Verse 15, he said, is this not the reason why God put you together so that he can have godly seed? Who is going to bring out the godly seed? Me, the woman in the house, and the father when he can. He said, oh, pastor, these women, is it women that are supposed to take care of children? I don't know. You see, I told you, I'm not educated. All I saw is that the Bible says, I should train you to love your husband, love your children, and take care of your house. That's what the Bible says. And as you can see, still this Bible I'm carrying. I don't know how to carry a computer. Computer is not Bible, it's called computer. And I still write like this. Is that what you people have been laughing at me, but anything to keep me honest. I know. I sat down with my Bible. I do this. I've been doing this for 26 years. Writing every night and coloring it. Speak kindly to your children. Listen to them. Nigerians, we can shout. We can shout. We don't have to. Have any of your children told you, mommy, you don't have to shout? How many of you be honest and say, mommy, why you shout? Anybody? It's not necessary. We don't have to shout. When I listen to white people speak to their children, I feel ashamed that we are human beings. Sometimes I wonder, why did God put us on this earth to mess up these people's world? Because when they speak to children, it's amazing. There is a child you are seeing. He has done everything wrong. In Africa, we would have slapped him 50 times. The mother would say, yeah, honey, but the boy would be, I hate you, mom. I hate you. Like, Junior, calm down. I'm like, no, it's not calm down. It's like slap him. But you see what? They end up, the children also end up, they are talking like that. They are calm. Because they learn, it's their culture. Our own is, even our good morning, idiot, stupid, see you again. Why can't we just be nice? In the office, Auntie Reg, we're in the office, so this is office, our African office. Hey, Morenike, Abel, let's go, it's lunch, it's dinner. Have you seen us in hotel, on any floor? We go for conference. We be shouting like, I'm like, oh my God. We stand up, hey, room 305, we're ready to go. Are you people ready? Is that not what we do? There are times we are together with myself. I say, Auntie Reg, it's just the two of us. It's just the two of us. Because we'll be talking and I'm like, seriously? No, come. It's just, we're here. It's just two of us. We need to cultivate a soft voice, especially for our children. There is a time when you stop talking to children. There is mothering for children, for infants, mothering for young children, and mothering for teenagers, and mothering for adults. Now, one of the things that your children can never be your friend at a certain age. They can only be a friend after they grow. But at this, your mother, your authority. But we must love our children. We must speak kindly to them. We must listen to them. We must make it a duty to answer them and answer them with a nice voice. We give commands. We don't talk. You are going to eat your food, though. Have you swept the room? You are sweeping that room. Everything, shout. Anyway, let me just go. I don't get us. I don't understand. So at the end of the day, you will reap what you have sown in your children. They will either justify you or condemn you. And so I made a note here. I said, don't fail in parenting. You shouldn't fail in any aspect of your life. But if you have chosen to fail in something, let it not be in parenting. You know why? Because your child is the next generation. God is banking on the next generation. We have failed as parents, and that's why we have the society we have right now. And so our generation must start correcting it. We must start loving them. But above all, we must teach them to be disciples of Jesus Christ. What is the meaning of a godly seed? It is God-fearing, religious, devout, practicing. There are some of you here, your children will wake up and not go to church. They say, Bobby, we are gone. Oh. We are gone. Don't laugh. I'm laughing. It's wicked laughter. In my house. I will go to church, you'll be sleeping. On whose bed? You turn on AC in a line. We are going to church. Church is boring. Say, yes, it is in this boredom I gave birth to you. We are going together. No, there's no... We don't negotiate church in our house. You go to church. You go to prayer meeting. You go to care group. You go to everything. Because that's how my mother raised me. And she didn't make a mistake. So I came to say that mothers are key. Being a mother is the father's business. is the father's business. Mothers are world changers. They raise champions. Some women made history. Moses' mother raised a nation, a leader of a nation. Hannah raised a prophet, priest, and king. Leah and Rachel raised the patriarchs, but Joseph came out from their children. See, and that's, this is what I tell mothers, and the experts, you'll have to permit me. You are not going to like the next time I'm going to say it, but I'll say it. When you give birth and have children, you must decrease and they must increase. I say it again. I say, when you become a mother, and I had one of the panelists say, the lady in the pink, a time in your life when you must not, the assignment, things are in circles, life is in cycles. And so there is a cycle to grow, to marry, to have children, and after a while, having children stops. And then you enter another cycle. And if you miss one opportunity, it's so hard to catch up. You may catch up, but you will suffer. So things must be done in their time. So there's a time to raise children. And at that time, you'll not be struggling to be doing other things because you're going to lose the child. I hate for you to fail as a parent. I hate for any woman to fail in parenting. And when will you know you have failed? When your child is not a disciple of Jesus Christ. When your child doesn't know about Jesus. When your child is not filled with the Holy Spirit. When your child is not talking the Bible. When your child is not going to church. He said, but must all our children do that? Yes. See Jesus now. At the age of 12, he was talking scriptures. He was in the synagogue. It is training, oh. And can I tell you something? If after the end of your life, your children are not following Jesus Christ, you did not convince them, you failed. He said, Pastor, I tried. You only tried. You didn't do it well. Because when you do it well, they will follow Jesus. Not be me born you. I'm me born you. My child must go to church. Are you kidding me? My child must read the Bible by themselves every day. My child must pray. It worries my children every day. I have so put in their head that every day they are thinking, how am I going to get this one to be a Christian? They think of evangelism all the time. That is the business. That's the father's. All these other things we are talking is highfalutin. The thing is discipleship. So you look at somebody like Susanna Wesley. She had 19 children. She spent 19 hours of prayer every week, praying for one child for 1 hour. You know what happened? John Wesley formed the Methodist Church. What did that woman need to be? Where did she need to go? Nowhere. She had finished her work. Charles Wesley wrote most of the hymns we are singing today from that praying woman. So the faith that was first in Lois, then in Eunice, and now in Timothy is generational. We can't play with this matter. That is the father's business. That's the father's business. So my mother was not educated. She didn't go to school. In Lagos, you are blessed. In the West, you know, the white people came through the thing and jihad came to the North. And so while you people were going to school, we were doing jihad. So many of your parents went to school. Ours didn't go to school. Most of our parents in the North. But my mother insisted we must go to school. The first thing she insisted was my mother made us to fear God and be scared of God. All she did was, she didn't want to take any chance. She scared us to believe in God. My mother insisted you had to fear God. They tell you how, you know, it's the law. Equa Church is the law. You do this, God will spank you. God will do this. And we believe them. And I'm glad we believe it. It's not New Testament, but it kept us on the straight and narrow. Anybody says amen to that? My mother ensured we went to first Sunday school. You were in the choir. You were in the boys' brigade and girls' brigade. You were in the youth church. You were in everything. You were in church. There's no other way. Is that not why the Muslims bring malams into their house to teach their children? It's to indoctrinate them. The Bible says if you train the child when he is old, he will not forget. It's either God is lying or you are lying. But the Bible says, let all men be liars and God not. And so my mother insisted. My mother insisted we went to school. She didn't have, there were 7 of us. My mother paid our school from frying akara and selling rice and beans and all. We went to school. And my mother was that kind of woman that if they drove you from school, you are happy that you are going to go and have a day break. You are going home. My mother is sending you back. And so if you wanted to have a holiday, when they drive, you just be hanging around the neighborhood and tell her later in the evening. But she looked for that £1 in the 70s to send you to school. My mother used to insist that all the women in the compound send their children to school. If they, if you saw a child playing, you say, what is this child doing? You say, you want them to end up like you. My mother will send your child to school. So my mother used to say to them, if you cannot climb the tree, if you push your child up the mango tree, you will stand on the ground, he will shake the tree, and all the mangoes will drop, and you will pack them. And so if you send your children to school, they will pack mangoes for you. And my mother died packing mangoes until she died. She not only packed mangoes, she gave mangoes to other people. Because the time came when she collected pension from all of us. I want to encourage you. You don't have to compete with your children. They are going to school. You two are struggling to go to school. They are going for lessons. You two are looking for coach. Everything your child is doing, you are doing. You don't need to. Michelle Obama's mother lived in the White House for 8 years. Something black people never thought would happen to them. Why? Because she pushed her child on the mango tree and she lived in the house. There are places your children will take you that you never dreamt you would go if you disciple them and bring them well. There are things they will do for you that you cannot do for yourself. There is no competition between you and your children. Beta Soba. Oh, sorry. There is no need for that. There's no. If your child succeeds, you have succeeded. If your child enter UN, you don't enter. Because one day that child is going to look for a pass and hang it on your neck. And you are going to go inside that building. You say, but Pastor, what about me? Then you is that child now. Mary was Jesus now. Moses' mother was Moses now. See, your success is in your children. Some of it is on you. But then if you're going to, and let me tell you, there's a season, there's a time where all your children will leave your house. And you can go anywhere you want to go. You can read every book you want to read. You can look for any job. Because right now, my house is empty. My real children are out. I brought in other children. But my children are gone. If I don't want to sleep in the house, I don't have to. If I want to go and register one school, I'll go and register. But for now, I have sent them to school. So I came to say to us, as I close, that you must push your children up the mango tree. Say, Pastor, I'm not married, I'm single. I knew. Thank you for asking. As a single person, widow, divorced, single mothers, yet to marry, take care of yourself. I wish I had the time to read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 to 35. Talks about the single person. The thing that should be on your mind is loving people and discipling. Not marriage, marriage. Some of you have put your life on pack. Every day, I call in the husband, I call in the husband, I call in the husband. You don't call and call and call and tie. You don't answer, now leave him. Husband. You know, tire. If you use all that energy to go and be getting people saved, maybe God will have mercy. In those people you save, he will clean one up for you and give you. So take care of yourselves, be complete in Christ, honor God with your life, mind the things of God. Don't waste your time packing and waiting for a husband. Occupy, buy land, build houses, be a rich girl, take care of other people, be a boss, be your own boss, be your man, be a boss. If a man is going to marry you, let him meet you busy. Don't sit down there and be praying, husband. So tell you, man, you don't gray, you don't wrinkle, because all your energy is man. Is that what God created you to do? Be a business person. Make disciples where you are. Bring people to church. Don't carry your car, God has blessed you, and just drive your car like a witch alone. You come and sit in church. The car has 5 seats. How about the other seats? Fill people in and bring them to church. Make your church grow. If women decide to make a church grow, it will grow. They are powerful because you can convince people. Let us be about our Father's business. As I close, I encourage you to love your husbands. Let them be the head. Love your mother. Be the best daughter-in-law your mother-in-law has. Speak positive words in your house. Make a statement in this life. Sign your name on something big. Don't just, she was born and she died. In between, what will be said about you? Even it's better, let them say, she was the mother of Aki. And when she says, there are some people that don't even need second name. You know, but Oprah, Obama, Mandela. Do we need to add second name? Osibajo. We don't need to add name. I won't call the other person. Oyedepo. That is Oyedepo's mother. And they will say, wow, blessed be the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck. Sign your name on something. Mama Akara. Because that Akara produced professors, lawyers, doctors, and senators. That is Mama Akara. Don't despise your position. And so as I leave this place today, I want to encourage that wherever you are, mother, teacher, lawyer, doctor, radio person, whatever you are, be the best at it. Make a mark that cannot be erased. Amen.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,